Welcome to the My Ministry Mission podcast, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Be sure to check out this episode's show notes. And if you enjoy this topic, head on over to myministrymission.com to find out how to join our community or even become a guest. God has placed a calling to ministry in my heart, and I'm answering that call. My name is Jason, and this is my mission. Thank you for listening and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Jason McConnell. Today I'm sitting down with a Christian poet and author from Albuquerque, New Mexico, Stephen Landis. Stephen is the founder of Dust Bunny Poetry, and he has published several collections including Grace and Other Poems and Joy in the Verse, Christian Poems to Stir the Spirit. He has rooted his writing in faith and aimed it squarely at pointing people to Christ. Not through heavy-handed preaching, but through words that are accessible, honest, and spiritually grounded. And today we're going to talk about something I think maybe a lot of believers quietly wrestle with. What does it mean to use the creative gifts God have given me? And what happens when we let them sit unused? Stephen brings real-world perspective to that question, and it's not a polished ministry answer, but a real lived one. So, Stephen, welcome to My Ministry Mission.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Good, you?
I'm doing pretty good. I like to let the listeners have a chance to get to know my guests. And we'll start with, you know, your favorite Bible passage. And you put Ephesians 2, which is a kind of a big, rich chapter. What is it about that passage that specifically keeps maybe drawing you back to it?
I think it's basically how it shows like the unity we have in Christ, because it's it explains that there's nothing we can do to earn favor with God or on our own. Of course, the most famous verse from that chapter is verse 8 and 9, which says it's not of works, lest any man can boast, basically. So I think it's just awesome that it shows that, and then it shows transitions into both a Jew and Gentile, and anyone under Christ is unified in Christ. So that's kind of what draws me to it.
Nice. Has your relationship with that passage changed over the years, or does it hit pretty much the same every time you read it?
It's changed overall it has to do with part of my testimony. Of course, I explained that I grew up in a Christian household, but got saved rededicated when I was 16. But then after that, I started studying more about who God is and certain qualities about him. So as I've studied more about that, Ephesians 2 has changed overall for me.
Nice. So Dust Bunny Poetry, it's not a name you're going to forget. It's kind of unique and I like it. But where did it come from? What does it mean to you?
So it basically came from a poem I wrote with the same name, The Dust Bunny. And The Dust Bunny is kind of whimsical, but also sort of serious, where it's you have this dust bunny floating around, not giving a care about the earthly things, he's focused on above. And so I kind of felt I did really well on that poem, and so I kind of used that for my branding, to kind of have the same
thing, same
type of idea when you see mine brand.
Yeah, And you write poetry, prose, devotionals, and now children's books. When you sit down to write, how do you know what's coming out that day?
Well, it really depends. Like if I have something on my mind like that, I just want to write down. Like a lot of times, I go to poetry because it's like it has like a form, like a specific like stanza stature to it. So like if I have something I just want to like get out, like explain, like that's in my mind, like I go there. But when it comes to other things, I guess it's just like whatever like God lays on my heart, like, hey, I want to teach people about this or that, or just so like I can go to that like whenever I need to.
Nice. And are there any big literary influences in that you've kind of piggybacked off of, or that have inspired you?
I would say one of the biggest is actually C.S. Lewis, in terms of like at least my children's book, because like the Chronicles of Narnia is like the most like famous he did. But like I use that as inspiration for my children's book, and then I guess like another one would be like Shel Silverstein. Like I've been told that like some of my more like whimsical poems like are sound similar to like his types of like children's poetry. So, and yeah, like I grew up on a lot of his poems, and so did like even my dad, my grandparents, I believe. So kind of funny in that sense.
Nice. So excuse me. Sorry about that. Your work is available online, but it's also, if I recall, in Albuquerque bookstores and libraries. I mean,
yeah.
Has it been kind of neat seeing something you made actually on a shelf?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just kind of cool more than anything. I would have always thought that, like, it would have been, like, more of, like, a moment of, whoa, this is actually on shelves. What the heck? That's so cool. But, when, like, now that I'm actually in that position, it's just like, oh, cool. This, like, I'm doing something here. So it's, like, different than I would have imagined, but also, like, very cool at the same time.
Yeah, it's like this real world object is a thing that you made, and other people are buying it. It's crazy.
Right. Because it's like you can spend a whole lot of time online. And, like, of course, I've seen, like, the book cover online, like, just working through the process of, like, making the book and finalizing it. So I've seen the actual cover, like, dozens of times. But, like, actually seeing it in your hands is, like, a whole nother thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, transitioning into some faith-related topics, you said the prayer, I guess, or you dedicated yourself at age 7, but it was really 16 where something shifted, and you started seeing other worldviews kind of pressing in, and maybe you had to ask yourself, what do I actually believe? So I don't know if you'd be willing to walk us through what that season was like for you.
Essentially, like, of course, like, I grew up in a Christian household, I've always had, like, Christian people, like, my parents and, like, family, friends and stuff, like, pouring into my life, like, so I've always known, like, Christianity, and, like, when I was younger, it's, like, that's all I knew, so it's just, like, oh, yeah, everybody knows about God, everyone knows about Jesus, but then when I got older, I started, like, having friends, like, particularly online, like, that were, like, atheists or, like, other religions, and I started, like, realizing, like, I grew up this way, so, have I put faith, like, myself, like, in Christ, or did I just be, like, oh, like, everyone knows about God, and then that was it, so you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like you don't realize that there are maybe other people who believe other things until you encounter them in the real world. I mean, if you grew up in a Christian household, that's a foreign topic.
Exactly.
So, and I imagine...
In a way, I mean, like, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Go ahead. There's a bit of a lag, but go ahead. Go ahead and tell me what you're going to say.
I'm kind of glad I did, like, come across those people, though, like, just so that, like, I could examine, like, my faith, because, like, the Bible does say, like, to give an answer for what he believes, so, like, I'm glad God used that in my life overall.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love that. Now, when we first spoke, I think during the course of our conversation, I made an analogy of using or not using your spiritual gifts, your God-given creative gifts, and aligned it sort of to Matthew 25, the parable of the bags of gold, where the servant's entrusted with something and they have to decide what to do with it. Now, when you hear that parable through the lens of a creative calling, I mean, how does that speak to you? What does that say to you?
So, like, whenever I read the story, like, it's like, when I think about it, the guy, like, who entrusted in servants, like, he had, like, I think, like, 8 bags of gold total, and, like, one bag is, like, 20 years worth of work from what I've heard, so it's, like, he had, like, about 160 years worth of work, and that number is assuming, like, a 6-day work week and not, whatnot, but... All right, but then, like, the two of the servants, like, doubled, like what they had, or at least one of them doubled it. So it's like, I'm like, wow, imagine, like, doubling, like 5 bags, which would be, like, 100 years of work into, like, 200 years. Like, well, like, that, like, it's a pretty big blessing if you're able to, like double something. And, like, in a creative sense, I think it works the same, like, well, like, if you want to create something and you have an asset, like you'll, like, double the asset. But also, like, I think on the other end, like, a guy had, like, 1 bag and, like, he, like, buried it. He didn't, like, double it. Like, he wanted to play it safe and then, like, he ended up getting reprimanded. So it's, like... So I think, like, at least in a creative sense, it's, like, when we stand before God, like it's not going to be like a salvation issue, but it's gonna, but he still will ask us, like, hey, I gave you, like, the ability to sing or the ability to paint or the ability to write, and you didn't use it. Like, why didn't you use it when I gave it to you? So yeah,
no, that makes sense. I mean, it's, you know, we're saved through Christ, but you know, there a lot. I think a lot of Christians forget that there's the judgment seat of Christ at the end, and right. we have to answer for what we've done or haven't done in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, we definitely do, and like, I mean, God will still let us into heaven by His blood alone. But yeah, it's like if God gives you something, like, that's a blessing. So it's like you'll want to use it, like, even. Like even without, like the account of, like, the seed of Christ and standing before Him, like, you'll want to, like, use it because He gave it to you, but especially with that included, like we're gonna stand in, like, an account of what we've done.
Yeah, absolutely. So the question I have for you is, have you ever felt like the servant who buried the talent? Like, was there a season of your life where you didn't use your gifts or you felt uncomfortable? And maybe what moved you out of that season?
I have had times like that, because a lot of times, like, I mean, like, whether creative or just, like, anything, I'm just like, oh, well, like, I have this stuff already. I've written, four or five books, so, God's already used me. So I'm just gonna stick with what I have, but then, like, I read passages that say, use what you have for God. I'm like, okay, God, like, you must be telling me to, like, keep going, so I will, you know?
Yep, absolutely. So, you described writing as something meant to point people to Christ. And what does that look like practically in a poem? Meaning, you know, like, a sermon has a clear structure, you know, here's the text, here's the application. So how does a poem do that without becoming a sermon?
I think it's like the context, like, what, like, I think really, like, any form of art, but, like, I think especially poetry, like, it's more, like, reflective of, like, who we are, like, you know, like, our humanity, like, what do we want out of this world, like, and I think, like, most artists will, like, mention that, like, at some level, but I think even, like, specifically with poetry, like, we write down what we're thinking, and I think, like, we can see, like, through that, like, how, what other people have, like, gone through, and what they've been feeling, and, like, what they think about their own, like, humanity, because it's, like, a sermon, it's, like, it, you, like, it could be, like, more generalized, like, hey, we all are, like, this way or that way, like, here's some Bible verses, but, like, I think poetry, like, I think it's, like, more intimate, like, oh, here's what I'm going through, if you're going through the same thing, this is for you, so.
Nice. Have you ever had a reader or somebody who read your poem tell you it landed differently than you intended, and maybe pointed somewhere you didn't plan?
Well, I think, like, a lot of times, like, with my poem, The Dust Bunny, like, to some extent, because, like, I wasn't, like, as I explained earlier, like, I meant it to be, like, oh, like, this dust bunny, like, doesn't care, like, he doesn't, like, give much thought to, like, the world and, like, fears and whatnot, but, like, a lot of people interpret that as, like, hey, this dust bunny is, like, calm, like, he doesn't get, like, angry or into fights and stuff, and people interpret it that way, and, like, I can see why, like, and that's not a bad interpretation, but then, like, I kind of use that, like, in my children's book about a dust bunny, like, I kind of, like, leaned more, like, into that, like, ultimately, so.
Well, that's good. You got some inspiration out of it.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that, I think you mentioned writing that helps you think through the characteristics of God. Is there any specific example where you sat down to write and came out on the other side with a much better understanding about something God that, you know, shared with you that you didn't understand when you started?
Well, like, I would say, like, there was, like, a pattern or, like, a period of, like, a few months where, like, I started, like, reading, like, parts of the Bible where it's like, hey, like, things like faith without works is dead, and, or, like, things like that, and it was like, hey, wait a minute, I thought, like, over here it said, like, you can't do, like, works to get to God, and, like, things like that, so I was wrestling, and, like, I actually, like, wrote, like, a few poems, like, well, like, during that period, but then, like, I studied, like, more scripture, and, like, God showed me, like, like, it's, like, by grace, nothing you can do, but, like, the outcome, like, of that, like, is the Holy Spirit, like, working within you, and, like, that's not yourself, that's the Holy Spirit, and so... So, like, I think, like, writing poetry during that time and then studying, like, scripture, like, helped me, like, well, like, with some, like, things that I was thinking through in that time period, so.
Yeah, it sounds like you went through your own Ecclesiastes period.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice. I'm curious, because I'm not a writer. I've sat down to try to write a book, and I don't think it's in me, but what is the spiritual discipline of writing actually like for you? Like, not the inspiring version, but the Tuesday morning, I don't really feel like doing it version. Like, how do you show up when it's really not flowing that day?
I think, like, really, like, it's just, like, just doing it, like, anyways, even if you don't, like, feel like it, because whenever you, like, do it, like, you, oh, okay, I'll sit down for 5 minutes, get something out, and then, like, by the time you get doing it, it's like, oh, I've done 5 minutes, I might as well, like, go more, so it's, like, so it's, like, you end up, like, just writing more and more, and, like, even if you didn't feel like it at first, like, you end up, well, like, writing, and so that's kind of, like, what it looks like for me, like, in general.
Nice. So you, I think you said that when you want people to see their gifts as something meant to be used, not buried. I mean, that goes back to that Matthew 25. Where does that conviction come from personally? Like, is there a season in your own life that really made that heavy influence for you?
I don't think, like, there's, like, a specific, like, time point, like where that, like, happened. Like, I think it was just, like, I started getting interested in poetry just in general, like, over time. And then, like, I think, like, over a period of time, like, over the years that I've done it, like, I, like, just realized, like, slowly, like, hey, like, God has built this thing in my life. Like, he built this platform. So, like, now that I'm, like, here at this point now, like, what am I gonna do with, or with, like, this, like, that God has given me?
Nice. And what does it look like for your writing to be in that season of obedience versus a season of wrestling? I mean, are they different for you, or is kind of wrestling the part of the obedience?
I think the wrestling is very much, like, part of the obedience. I mean, like, especially, like, with poetry, like, going back to what we were talking about, like, with it, like, like, being, like, showing, like, part of our humanity. I think, like, when you're wrestling, like, and you, like, want to write a poem about that, like, you're gonna, like, write about it. It's like, oh, I'm dealing with this, so I'm gonna, like, express that, like, well, like, through mine art. So, yeah, I think they're very much connected in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Sounds like a Jacob moment, because you've struggled with God and humans have overcome.
Yeah.
So,
and we can see that a lot of, like, with King David in the Psalms, too. Like, he wrote a lot about, like, his struggles, like, even as a leader, like, a king, things like that.
Yeah, you seem pretty knowledgeable about biblical scripture. Is there some defining point in your life where, you know, you mentioned the 16, but, you know, everyone seems to have that moment where things just kind of connect, and that's it. They're in for it, for God, for Jesus, for 100%. Was that 16 moment, or, is there a more defining moment that came up at some point?
There is a more defining moment when I was, like, 19 or 20, because, like, that was when I was, like, having, like, the conflict in my mind about, like, about, like, grace versus works and things of that nature was, like, between 16 and 19. So, like, while I did rededicate at, like, 16, like, I think God, like, brought me, like, through that, like, period of time of, like, self-doubt and like, things like that to, like, kind of, like, bring me to that point to where, like, hey, I'm gonna do this for God, and this is gonna be, like, my brand.
I like that. So I know when we started this process, and I admire this, you weren't concerned about the highlight of your works. You were just like, I just want to get there and talk about God. But I do want to give you an opportunity to talk about your works, and you've got quite a few out there. Is there, you mentioned the Dust Bunny poem, but is there anything, like, any works that are your favorite that you feel like you need to point out and say, hey, if you're going to buy anything that I've made, buy these?
The one that, like, I found to be, like, the most success is my book, like, Grace and Other Poems. Like, a lot of people, like, have been, like, inspired by the poems, and, like, that's been the main point to where, like you were saying, like, instead of, like, just having a product, like, I've been able to, like, actually use this, as, like, a ministry because of how, like, my book Grace and Other Poems has turned out, like, and I just won an award for it as well, so.
But, oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And now, like, I just released, like, my children's book, too, so that's another one that, like, I'm really excited about, like, at the moment, kind of expanding, like, out from poetry, too, so.
Very nice. Is there, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, and if you say no, I'll just totally take this part out, but is there any part or any poem that you would like to share while we're doing this interview?
Or one that I like to share a lot with people is a one called "A For I Am But a Cloud." Is it fine if I like recite it for you right now?
Absolutely, I would love that.
Yeah, so it starts off, "For I am but a cloud sailing calmly in the breeze, though the wind may not care for the marvel it frees. For today you shall find a new painting in the sky, but by sunset I'll pass with one last bid goodbye. If there's one thing to leave, find the beauty in all, for I am a mere cloud and my time will be small."
That's great. That's great. Thank you. I don't have that talent. Oh, Stephen, this has been a very honest conversation, and I definitely appreciate that. Do you have any final words for the listeners?
One final thing I would like to say is that, if you have a talent, no matter what it is, use it for the Lord, I use, poetry and writing, but for example, you have this podcast, and, you're using it for the Lord, so I would encourage, no matter, where you're at or what you're doing, to use it for God, use your talents for God.
No, absolutely. You know, it's funny, I tell people, if you're not sure what your spiritual gift is, it's probably the thing you don't want to do.
Right.
For a lot of people. Right. God gives you a gift, and that's the one thing you don't want to do. And, sometimes I think that's the enemy working. But, right. But you seem to genuinely enjoy writing, and I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, and, the amazing thing, too, is that, we all have, different talents and, different, things, I wouldn't be good at all, at audio or at, making podcasts, but you would. As you mentioned, I'm good, at poetry, so, we both, can use that, and of course, I'm on this podcast, so, we even, brought those two, things together, with each other, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the way you think. And I'll have to keep that in mind. You know, it is a kind of convergence of talents, and I think that's great. And the faster we can do, or the better, or the more broadly we can do that Acts 1 verse 8 mission that, you know, to the ends of the earth, the better we'll be.
For sure.
So thank you for being here and taking time to share your thoughts, your experiences with the listeners. This conversation meant a lot, and I hope you know that. What kind of strikes me the most about what Stephen shared today is the honesty of it. He didn't come here to have a neatly bow on top of his story. He came as someone who is still in the middle of it, still building something real, surrendering it to God, picking it up again, and trusting that he is in all of it. And that's not weakness, that is faith in motion. That's where everybody should be, because none of us have it all together. And I think that's exactly what a lot of listeners needed to hear today. There's something very powerful about watching somebody lean into their calling, even if they can't fully explain it. And Stephen is writing poems, putting them out there in the world, and trusting God will do what he will with them next. And that's courage, that's obedience, and it's a beautiful picture of what it looks like to walk by faith and not by sight. So I want my listeners to follow what God is doing through Stephen, so please head over to dustbunnypoems.online. I will have links along with the social media that you gave me in the show notes. So go find him, encourage him, let him know that his conversations have found you. So Stephen, we're cheering for you, we're praying for you. We cannot wait to see where God takes all of this. So God bless you, brother.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on your podcast as well. I really enjoyed talking to you and being on here and sharing my story. So thank you so much.
You are welcome, sir. And for the listeners, until next time, keep loving your neighbors, dive into God's word daily. May the Lord bless you and keep you and fill you with his peace. Take care, God bless, and I'll see you in the next episode. You've been listening to the My Ministry Mission podcast, hosted by me, Jason McConnell. If today's episode spoke to you, I'd love for you to like, follow, or subscribe me on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss what's next. Be sure to check out this episode's show notes for links and resources from today's conversation. And my prayer for you is this: keep walking with Christ, trusting His plan, and living out the mission God has placed in your heart.